You know, I've had many people on my show dealing with natural health, and I always think it's cool when you can talk about what you've been through. Who better to talk about those things than somebody that's experienced? Who are we going to listen to? We're not going to listen to people that have theories. We're going to listen to people that have gone through it. And also, you start to find that maybe you're inspired to do something more. And my guest feels that way. Mary Retlick is from Gladstone, I believe. Gladstone, Michigan?
Escanaba,
Michigan. How are you doing?
I'm very good. How are you?
Good. So I found out that she was going to have this event coming up on June 30th that was going to bring in a couple of doctors, and they were going to have more of a natural approach. And I thought to myself right away when I started reading about it, I really like that somebody is willing to stand up and do that, to maybe feel the need to inspire others because of her own story, which we're going to get into. So tell me a little bit about yourself, Mary. You grew up in this area?
I am originally from Crivitz, Wisconsin.
Okay.
So not too far away, about an hour away.
And you have a couple of kids?
I have two boys, 15 and 17.
And you are married, and you've been living in this area for a good part now?
Yeah, I've been married just 22 years the other day, and wow, lived up here for about 18 years.
And you like being up here?
I do, yes. It's beautiful, especially in summer.
Oh, yeah. Summer is the best. So you came down with some illnesses, and when did those come about?
A year and a half ago, I went to Mayo Clinic following several months of just not feeling well, and nothing, they couldn't find what was wrong. So I kept going and going and going, wanting an answer. There is some autoimmune illness in my family, so I really wanted to make sure that was ruled out. What I learned at Mayo was that I didn't have anything per se. I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome. And part of what Mayo's message was, which was good, is just taking care of yourself, what you need to do, and that there's no magic pill that's going to fix it. It won't just go away. And I was okay with that, and I promised myself I would be okay with what the diagnosis was. And that lasted for about 6 months, and I was still tired, felt like I was missing out on living because I was so tired. And then I wasn't okay with the diagnosis anymore, so I started to take a little bit different path, wanted to embrace what there was that naturally I could do. And I didn't want to be pigeonholed into a category. And at 45, I didn't want to feel as old as I did. So that's why I started with, I had done essential oils a little bit before that. I sought them out as a resource much more. And then I started to look at my diet. And a lot of changes have happened since then, not just in my diet, but what I've learned and what I've learned about the path I'm supposed to follow.
What are some of the specifics of the things you've changed in your diet? What kind of foods have you removed?
I did not know where to begin. I talked with my chiropractor, who's one of the speakers at the event, and I started to make changes just in looking for more wholesome ingredients, organic when I could buy it, otherwise just minimal ingredients, not a lot of preservatives and things like that. And that helped some. I felt better about what I was doing, but it still wasn't helping as much as I wanted. So I sought out the Wellness Way Clinic in Green Bay, which is where Dr. Patrick Flynn fits into my life. And I had some testing done for food sensitivities. And as it turns out, I have 9 food sensitivities, a lot of really big ones, that like wheat, oats, peanuts, corn, pineapple, black and white pepper. Those are things that I was taking in every day, probably at every meal of every day. And it was just, I guess, building up a toxicity in my body at some level.
Interesting. So what did you change? What does your diet consume? You just don't eat those things? Big Macs? Are you having just nothing but Big Macs?
That's all I eat now. Yep, that's it.
The Big Mac here?
No, I have a long way to go on my diet. A lot of this information I found out this past spring, and with working my day job, there's not a lot of convenience foods that I can eat. So I've stuck to the few that I have that I know that I can eat. But this summer, since I work at a school, I'm looking forward to this summer really broadening out cooking and using different types of foods. The clinic that I went to, the Wellness Way, they have fabulous support. They send you a cookbook, and they even have this wonderful person who's said, okay, so sesame seeds, you're going to miss out on this nutty flavor. Substitute this for it. And just to really help you to still enjoy food, but go about it in a way that's good for your body.
Give you options. And you see that it seems like there's more and more people that are allergy sensitive or food sensitive. Does that seem like there's maybe you haven't noticed that?
But I've absolutely noticed it. That's part of why I felt like this was the time for me to do my event. Thought it was excellent timing for the message, being that we live in the UP, we're probably one of the last places in the country to catch on to some things, trends, I guess, if you look at it that way. But since I've been paying attention, the organic sections at the grocery stores have grown and grown and grown. There's so many more options now, which obviously people are making these choices because stores are going to provide what's being asked for.
Right, exactly. And there's more and more people. I just noticed so many people allergic to all these different things. And I'm thinking, as a kid, I don't remember that stuff. And none of my friends had issues. And also the food issues. None of my friends had sensitivities to things. And so have things become so toxic in our world?
I think so. I have, I'm blessed to have my parents still living, and actually my grandma's still living. She's 102.
Wow.
My in-laws are still alive. And a lot of times as this topic comes up with them, well, I'm just fine. I never got sick, which they probably didn't. But I think so many things that we are putting on for pesticides and what we are exposing our foods to, it wasn't around back when they were our age or younger. It's playing out differently now for our kids. And it's like we are moving so quickly in some areas, and I think that's part of it. We don't know the impact that the things we do to our food so that we can have more of it, or it can be more colorful or prettier, may have a negative side effect. I think that's where a lot of the food sensitivities are coming from.
I think we have, because you and I talked about this before the interview, not only do we have food that's less healthy because it's hybrid, some of it, some of that. You know, they won't even accept it in Europe, the way we grow our corn. And so they have different standards than we do. But not only that, but we live in a much faster paced world than we did 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or your grandparents when they were, you know, there's always been stress, but not to the extreme. And don't you think that adds to your health issues as well, all of that as well?
Absolutely. I think that's how I ended up in the health situation that I did, was that I didn't deal with my stress. I just kind of kept tucking it away, and it just started to literally eat at my well-being. And that's what's happening. On a side note, I think kids these days have a lot of stress that we didn't have when we were that age either. Not that we didn't have stress. It's just different, and it plays out different than what we realize.
I think now, because of the immediacy of Facebook and cell phones, you have this constant communication, and I think there's more bullying in a way, more harassment that can go on. Everybody knows your business. Some of the things I read about kids, that the torment they're getting from others. So there's got to be, I mean, in some ways it's good. You got more communication, but everything is so public. And
yes,
you know, if I had a kid again, I don't know if I'd let him mess around much on the internet, or cell phone would be very limited use. I'm sure you let your kids, you got to have kids nowadays need it, but there's just texting. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but I do believe when you're around, of course, we're around all this electronic stuff right now, so sorry, but when you're around electronic devices, they alter your energy.
Yes.
And so cell phones, people have said that this can alter. Cell towers, we've seen these pop up all over the place. Can that affect our health? How do you feel?
I think it has an impact. I think, as with anything, I think there's potential for good, potential for not so good. It's with cell phones and social media for our kids. I think if we could find a way to do a positive spin, we could use them being so plugged in to their benefit. One of the things that I'm just learning about right now is called the Hahn Foundation Mind Up. And that it's Goldie Hawn's baby. She pulled in a whole bunch of experts in the field, and it's actually a in the classroom curriculum that it addresses a lot of things, but it helps kids to tune into their bodies. They may not be able to tell you that they're anxious, but they're going to feel that their body is changing, and they'll have the tools to calm themselves down. They have a component that gets at like the bullying perspective. So I have to do a lot of research yet on that, but it's exciting to see that, again, there's like this new wave of thinking that is addressing things.
New wave of consciousness. It seems like we raise the consciousness more and more. I think that's what we're here to do, ultimately, all of us, to, you know, in doing what you're doing, you're raising the consciousness of how we should treat illness. And I look at it as, on the whole, we talked about some things that I experienced or whatever before we did this. And I look at also the awareness of, look in the last 20 years, animals, people, the way they foresee gays, all these things that are coming, I think, to the surface because they've maybe been, even children at one time were not treated that well. And so we're seeing consciousness growing in greater respect and love for all beings. That's what I see. And also an awareness of our bodies, an awareness of our health, becoming more natural again, mm-hmm. maybe returning the planet to a more natural state without completely collapsing everything.
Right.
But it's somewhere along the way, we have to make a decision. We can't keep going down the road we're going. It's toxic for us. And now we're beginning to see...
Agreed.
In many of us, the it seems like cancer, to me, is way up. Now, maybe I just wasn't paying attention when I was younger, but it's like, holy cow, how many people have that? And there's always benefits going on all the time now. There
right.
used to be few
right.
and far between for all different types of illnesses. The fibromyalgia... I only heard about that maybe 10 years ago. That I didn't even know what that was. And now many people. What exactly? That's something to do with your nerves, isn't it?
It is. It's essentially the best description that Mayo gave, and it's a great analogy, is you and I each experience the point of a pin on our finger. That sensation is the same, you know, given it's the same pressure. But the message that is sent to my spinal cord, because I have over the years developed so many heightened stressors, the message that goes from my spinal cord to my brain is that I'm feeling about 3 to 5 pin pokes versus your one. So it's not necessarily that the stimulus is different, it's how my body is interpreting and reading it. So I feel that pain that much more. But there were 3 of us in my class at Mayo, and I was the only one who did not arrive in a wheelchair, and we had the same diagnosis. And I was not going to go there because we had the same goals, too. For them, their goal was to get more physically active. When you hurt, you don't want to be active. So for them to become more physically active, I mean, it'll play out a little differently. For them, a walk to the mailbox is huge. For me, I need to challenge myself to go further, do more. But less and less, I guess I don't really believe in it necessarily as a diagnosis, I think. And it's not really, it's not a disease, it's a syndrome, because there's no cause per se. But I think it's sort of a, and this is no disrespect to the doctors or anything, but it's sort of like a pigeonhole diagnosis because they can't, it's a diagnosis of exclusion. They can't put another label on you, so you fit in that category, and that's kind of how it works.
So they don't know what causes it. And no. Do you think in some way that you cause it?
Absolutely.
So with the stress that you've taken on, you're the one that maybe brought it on?
Yes, and not dealing with it. Not treating the body that I was given with respect as far as what I was doing for the heightened stress and not eating well, not exercising, and probably also not giving attention to my spiritual side, growing that way.
Interesting. So God's sticking with your pins? Is that what he's doing?
Just little white wake-up messages.
There you go, Mary.
Ow! Ow! I got it.
I was also diagnosed just recently with 3 stomach ulcers. I've never had any stomach pain. So somebody is giving me a wake-up call saying, you need to deal with this stress.
Sounds very acidic almost, too.
Yes.
Some of it, that as well. Yeah. So, and I find that a lot of times anger or frustration can turn into those acidic issues that we have in our body.
Yes.
Have you ever felt any of that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm trying not to focus on the negative.
I understand.
You know, negative things come up, or less than perfect things come up. It's in how you respond to it.
Exactly.
And I'm being more intentional about how I respond.
Yeah.
And I am noticing that makes a huge difference for me, and makes a huge difference for the people around me.
How's your fibromyalgia now?
It's really good. The biggest struggle that I've had has been with fatigue, but I honestly have to say I do not ache like I used to.
And what have you done to correct that?
I think that's a big part of where the diet comes in. The oils have helped a lot because there's no inflammation, so you can't take the pill to make inflammation go away and feel better. So the oils helped a lot with just giving me something that would help those, like it's normally my legs and my back, to just, you know, relax a little bit more so I can be comfortable. But my diet has made a big, big difference.
And what do you eat, if you can share some of that? If there's somebody listening right now that's going through what you went through, what would you recommend them to eat?
The biggest thing I would say is look for the source of your foods. Organic is expensive. It is. It's worth it. But you also can be smart about it, too, because, say, for instance, an orange with a nice thick skin that you're going to peel is not as important for it to be organic as an apple where you're eating that skin. So you just be smart about the choices that you make. I'm also finding alternatives for things. I made meatballs the other day that the source, it was turkey. It was no hormones were given to those turkeys. So the sourcing that way was good. But then because I need to avoid oats and wheat, I put in something called teff. Never heard of that before. But it's good just to, you know, give that thickening, and hemp hearts I put in just to give it a little bit
what
of
did
a
you put?
Hemp hearts.
Hemp?
Hemp hearts.
Like marijuana hemp?
I don't know. They sell it at the grocery store. So it's got a nutty taste to it. So okay. It's in making those substitutions that the food was, it's fabulous. My family liked it, but I'm not doing things that are going to inflame my body inside.
That's good. You had to make those changes. Where did you go? How did you find out about this?
The diet things I found out about from the Wellness Way.
In Green Bay.
They actually have clinics all over the country.
That's cool. So if somebody right now is listening and they're going, I don't even know where to start.
Oh, please go to thewellnessway.com. You will not regret it. The founder is Dr. Patrick Flynn, that's coming to speak. And he has a bachelor's degree in nutrition. He's a doctor of chiropractic, and he's also a naturopathic doctor. But he has this thirst to continually learn and grow and know more and more. So he founded this And it's, I mean, he gets more and more clinics all the time.
He was the one that started it up.
He did, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I hear about that because I talk to a lot of different people all over, and there's so many different routes you can take, and so many different things on the market you can try that can maybe make a difference. The diet, obviously, is very important because, mm-hmm. you know, I think not just the diet, but don't you think the attitude towards the food we eat
has absolutely, yes. Just to, well, as we mentioned shortly before we started on this, I think attitude about everything makes a difference. Whether it's competing for limited amounts of things or perceived limited amounts, and that's really not the case. I think as far as food goes, just be smart about what, be informed. Maybe smart isn't the word, but be informed. Look at the ingredients list. Don't just look at calories or fat. You know, we've been trained to think those are the things we need to read on labels. But look at what that list of products are that's in what you're eating. And there's a bunch of handy apps, too, that you can just scan the bar codes, and it'll tell you there's like a Dirty Dozen list and a Clean 15 and... there's some good resources out there that are free to help you to make good choices.
Generally also, you know, if you're going to buy something that's canned or boxed, chances are you got preservatives in it and you have things that your body may not be able to break down because it's not natural. So if you're eating fresher stuff, the better. And if you do buy even like some noodles or pasta, mm-hmm. you know, usually I try to get the whole grain stuff or the wheat or whatever, mm-hmm. but you can't get that. But anytime you go with those route, if it's not something that's absolutely fresh, absolutely you made, then I think you're taking in some of those things, right?
One of the greatest experiences or experiments is put a loaf of bread that is your like national brand, made to last forever, but... I mean, it can be wheat, whatever. It can say it's all healthy right. for you. Put it on the counter and let it sit and see how long it takes before things start yeah. to grow on it. Yeah. It's pretty... Then you're putting that into your body.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, after a while, I think, you know what happens? It all catches up with us. Some people fast than others because I think some people... If you're taking in foods that can be... can affect your health, and maybe, like you say, part of it is... your genes, how your, you know, your family traits. But the way I look at it is you can eat some toxic stuff. The body can flush that out, especially mm-hmm. if you're taking supplements that can work with that. I think there's an incredible amount of companies out there that make some amazing things that can really, OPC3 I've talked about. Manitech has a thing called Ambritose, several products. And that SEACT Inc. from Canada. There's just a ton of things that you can use to detox and flush your body out. But the biggest issue on all of that is how much toxicity do you take in as a human being? And by that I mean, are you a toxic person or do you have toxic people in your life? There was a woman that I knew that had cancer. I think I told you that she had survived taking some natural stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me one of the things, she said, it's 90% mental, TJ. And she said, and I had to get people out of my life that were toxic because I knew I could not heal if I had those people in my life. And I think, yeah, I agree. It's hard to do if you have family around you.
Exactly.
You know? Son, you're going to go. I'm going to leave you now.
Yeah.
We're going to drive and drop you off somewhere at the next rest stop. And but if you have, I think if, you know, other than the people that are in your immediate family, if you have in-laws or other people that are not supporting you and are making your life difficult, either you've got to remove yourself from them or partially or completely. This is about your journey.
Right. Yeah. And if you're in a position where your health has become that poor, that, I mean, just to be able to function through a day is worth celebrating, you got to do what you got to do. The thing I've noticed, though, is that as I have made my well-being a higher priority, the people who maybe were the naysayers at first, they have responded differently than I thought. And, you know, I stood up for what I believe I needed to do, and things are falling into place. The negativity is falling away. So the more positive that I became about, I'm just going to do this because this is what I need to do for me.
They see you improving in health.
Yes.
How can they deny it?
And they've asked me questions then about things that are bothering them that maybe I would have read something that could help them, or, you know, like, if is there an oil for some, you know, this condition? Or
how do the essential oils work? Tell us about that a little bit.
Essential oils are, they're fabulous little gifts from God. That's what I feel. They, you can use them three different ways. You can take them in aromatically, you can use them topically, or you can use them by ingesting them. If you ingest, do not go with your just average run-of-the-mill essential oil, because most essential oils that you'll find, some even at like health food type stores or areas, may be more or less just for the fragrance of it, not for the healing of it. So go with a really good brand. Do your research, make the best call for you. For me, when I researched, I went with Young Living Oils because that's just what resonated with me. They're high quality. Those are the only oils that I would ingest for sure. But the great part about them is they can cross the blood-brain barrier, which a lot of medications can't do either. There's not very many things that can. So they can implement change within how things are firing in your brain that other things can't get to. And they work, because they're natural, they'll work to bring your body to a point of wellness or homeostasis and not take it further. You won't overdose, quote unquote, on them. So there's a lot of good, because they're natural and they will fit with what your body needs. And you can, some oils, you maybe don't enjoy the scent of them, so you wouldn't want to be diffusing them into the air, but perhaps you can, you know, put them on your body somewhere that isn't, so that you smell a lot.
So what do you do with the oils that you have? Do you put them on topically?
I do, and there's also another great phenomena called therapy localization. So for instance, if your knee is hurting, like I've done this before, if it's a little bit achy, by me putting an oil, for instance peppermint, on my knee, it's calling extra attention from my brain to that area to work on healing it.
So you're healing yourself.
Yeah,
the oil is really just kind of,
it's kind of
guiding
it's a,
it.
It's a tool. Yeah,
it's guiding it. Mm-hmm. And don't you think all healing really has to come from within?
It does. Yeah, I mean, the oils have great properties, and they're, how they work is based on frequencies, because our body is made up of frequencies.
I didn't know this about oils. This is cool.
Yeah. So whatever frequency we're at or struggling with, then how they come up with recommending an oil is based on its frequency, because it's from a live substance, from a plant, and then those match together to improve something.
Nobody's ever explained that to me like that. I've heard people talk about it. I've never used them. But I think it's cool, and it makes a lot of sense, because I do agree with you. Frequency, vibration. I find that everything on the planet's on a frequency, on a vibration. And what I find, the more you fill with love in your heart, just pure joy, compassion, you're raising your frequency up. And when you're filled with anger or hatred or depression, you just feel so low and drained. You ever notice, like, when you're really, really happy, you just feel so energetic and vibrant? To me, that's the raising of the frequency, because you're filled with that joy.
It's true. I apologize, I don't have the science memorized on it, but I guess there's a certain level of frequency that if you are above that level, you are healthy. Your body is well. If you are below that frequency, you are not well. So that's, it's all based on that. And yeah, that's how essential oils work. But that's a lot of your mental attitude as well, because that impacts
how you view life. How you view life. And I would also say, on a spiritual level, and I don't mean to, you know, step on your toes or anything. This is just my take on things. And you can say, that's a bunch of crap, TJ.
I'll let you know if I think that.
But God or Source is on this high, high, high frequency of love. We are on this lower, lower frequency. And when we return to a higher frequency, we start to connect with that place that we came from. And this is why they talk about high vibrations. We're raising the frequency of mm-hmm. our vibrations. So if God is love and this divine energy, we tap into it. It's a healing thing. Like you said, people are healthy when they're above a certain frequency. That's what we're intended to be. And while we're here, because everything goes on around us, we lower down into another freak. And there's maybe some things that are messing with us a little bit, mm-hmm. trying to get at our energy, depending what you believe in. And so when you allow yourself to be in that lower vibration is when disease hits you. Yes. And that can come from depression. That can come from mm-hmm. alcohol can lead to that. Drugs can lead to a lot of that stuff, that lower state of vibration. And not only the lower state of vibration, but I think we can be manipulated more by, I don't know if you believe there are, do you believe there are darker energies and lighter energies?
Good. Oh, yeah.
And so when you're in a state of lower vibration, you open the door to these things manipulating you to be negative or to be depressed. Oh, even more and more mm-hmm. and more. And I find also medications are, again, that's a drug. So some medications may help people a little bit, but at the same time, it puts you in that state.
See, and that's the thing about, and I'm not saying that I have not used prescriptions that I have. They've helped at right. the point that I've needed them. And a medication will always, always work. That's what it's designed to do. But I'm sure this won't be a surprise to a lot of people, but it's treating the symptom a lot of times. Right. It's not treating what is causing the symptom. But what you talked about, like, in how you see things, an everyday analogy that really always stands out to me is I like different. If I'm going to get a different vehicle, I want it to be something a lot of people don't have. And so as different makes and models have come to mind, then I start to watch, okay, are there really not many of them out there, or am I just not noticing them? Once that vehicle that I'm thinking maybe I want is in my head and I start to watch for it, I will find them all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll be like, that's way more common than I thought.
Yeah.
It's sort of, so I guess I think of like good that way. You can look at life as there's not a lot of good in this world. And there are a lot of bad things that happen, but there's a lot of good that is in this world.
There's way more good.
And if you spend your time looking for the good, you're going to see more of the good.
Absolutely.
And if you are a vehicle of good,
you're
going to
draw it to you.
Yeah.
As well. You're going to draw. We talked about Think and Grow Rich, of all things, because she loves the book, and I loved it too. I think it's, and she's listening to it on audio. It, to me, is very inspiring on the power that we all have within us to become really whatever it is we want.
Yep.
What is it you like about that book and the audio?
I have to say I'm not crazy about the title and the fact that in this day and age it makes it seem like I'm a greedy, materialistic person. Rich to me means something different, so I'll preface with that. But I like it because it helps me to think for myself. It helps me to, I guess, have a different level of thinking. What am I supposed to do? And it gives me the resolve to do something that maybe would be too hard otherwise. I mean, to throw together an event, I had tons of fears. I was like, nope, nobody's going to come. My speakers, you know, that I ask, maybe they won't accept. And then what am I going to do? As it turned out, I just thought, I meant to do this for whatever reason. I'm being pushed to do this. Both of my speakers said yes right away.
Right.
And they volunteered to do it for me for free because I'm putting a message out that they agree with. It was very important for me, this one, that it's free so that there weren't any barriers to people hearing the message. And I think that resonated with them as well. So everything has fallen together just so perfectly for this. I mean, there's been a few hurdles here and there, but nothing that's going to stop me for sure. And I just need to not listen to the fear. I'm up to almost 300 people and it's still 10 days away.
Yeah, I know.
That's huge. Amazing. That's huge. Obviously, people want to hear a wellness message.
Yes. I think many of us are people, just like we see in politics right now, getting tired of what they're told, and they want to retake. They want to have some power, knowing that maybe they have options, and maybe a lot of people are turning against. If you're in the healthcare business, I do not wish to bash you. I never do that. But I think a lot of people are kind of fed up with, from what I've seen, you know, they're told one thing and they're given medications and medications and medications. And I can't tell you how many people I've talked to that have gone through having somebody sick with cancer, and they said, I think it's a racket. First thing they'll tell me, it's a racket. They don't want you to get well. And they were very disappointed. And again, this is not a knock. If we live in a world where everybody can honestly express what they want to say, and we're not trying to hurt your feelings, if we should be allowed to express the things we like and dislike, I think, and we're not trying to offend anybody. But I do feel what we know about medicines, drugs, some are really severe, and the sicker you are, the worse side effect, it's going to destroy your kidneys or your liver.
Right.
And so if you can find, and weren't we put here on a planet in the beginning with a natural way to heal ourselves? Wouldn't that just make sense?
It does. It does make sense.
You guys wait several thousand years. We're going to invent hospitals and medications, all right? But I'm going to die, God. I'm going to die. That's okay. Down the road. And what if instead we were given this great knowledge? When I look at the ancient cultures that exist here, the Aborigines and all these ancient groups, they understood nature and the healing properties of the mm-hmm. roots and the herbs. I told you about a guy that lived in Garden who was a doctor, and he discovered a cure for skin cancer through some native sort of natural root or herb. And he took it with him to his grave, which I find hard to believe that he wouldn't tell other
right.
people. But years ago, too, a few years ago, I got another friend who lives down in Wausau, and she's in her 80s, and she's like a second mom. And I stayed with her when I went to broadcasting school. I was telling you I went to broadcasting
yeah.
school. And she said when she was a kid, this goes back to the Depression, if somebody had cancer, a native guy would come around and he had a mixture of things, roots and things, that was pretty expensive for back then, but it was a cure through a natural thing. And so I know that there probably have been, throughout the course of our history, many, many things that we've even forgotten, or maybe somebody said, we don't want that to come out.
Right.
Because that's competition. And so I find that a lot with the natural movement, the holistic movement, that, again, not to run anybody down, but it sure appears like you guys are trying to stop everybody from coming forward. There are some out there trying to stop that from coming forward to allow options, natural options to, which seem to work. You know, if you were really in a bad position and you needed a drug right away because you had, maybe then I can understand it. If you're in a ton of pain or whatever. But if you've got a little bit of time to heal, then the natural route, if you're willing to be patient
right.
with it, and probably it's a lot less expensive when you start adding what drugs
right.
can cost and pills can cost.
Because it's not fast. You know, I mean, a more natural approach is going to take longer. But one of the things, as you kind of talked about doctors, is what I really liked about Dr. Flynn's message with the wellness way is he has an analogy, the firefighter and the carpenter. Whereas the firefighter, if your house is on fire, he's going to come in and he is going to douse everything with water, which is not good for the wood in your house, not good for wiring, not good for a lot of stuff. But at the moment, is that what you want him to do? Yes, it is. Your house is on fire. Then the carpenter comes in, looks at it, and probably thinks, what did that fireman do? You know, I mean, he just destroyed
right.
everything, but it's what was needed at the time. Then the carpenter is going to help build things back up, make it better. So, you know, Western medicine, all medicine has its place. It's just in being informed and doing what's best for you. I mean, doctors have so much to offer. You know, I have a great doctor in town, Dr. Gochi. I think she's great. And she's been very open-minded to, as I've traveled my journey, to say, I'm going to try this, or this is what I'm going to do. And she'll say, good, good for you. I hope that you learn some things, and, you know, just maybe keep this in mind. But I think they all have their place. It's just we start to rely on just one form of, one source of help.
Right.
And then we maybe end up in a little bit of trouble because we're not keeping an open mind.
And ultimately, if we are the ones to create the disease, which, you know, I think the majority of the time we do, maybe not all the time, certainly, but a lot of the time we create it with our thoughts and our actions and our attitudes in life and the things that, you know, we get hit with things in life. Somebody dies, whatever, you know, and we might carry that with us, or somebody leaves us, or whatever the case may be. And, or you get fired from a job. And so how do you, again, if you stay in that higher vibration, then I don't think you lower yourself down to where illness can pop its head in as easily. Sooner or later, the body's going to wear out. But if you stay in that state of joy, which I think is what we're meant to be, and I believe that not with all my heart because I witnessed it a couple of times mm-hmm. from the other side, and I know we're going down another direction here, but, you know, both my parents had come back to me, and they were just, since they passed, and they were filled with such joy and love, and it was unconditional, and it was a wave that came over me, and I thought, this is how we're meant to be. If mm-hmm. we live in a state like this, chances are we'd be healthy, because you wouldn't be, you know, you wouldn't let things get to you as much. And also, if you, I think you'd just be happier and healthier. I think that's what we're intended to be. We're intended to live like that and be like that.
Right.
And when we pull away from it, like we talked about the frequency, the oils and the levels, then we allow that other stuff to bring us to a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
And then something is there to, do you believe it's there to wake us up, as far as like a disease really is more nothing more than a big wake-up call, isn't it?
Well, that's what it's been for me anyway. I'm blessed with the diagnoses that I've had. They're not life-ending or anything, but I think a lot of things are how we respond. Crappy things happen, they just do. Life isn't always sometimes fair, but you never know. I mean, say, for instance, if you lost your job, there may be somebody that you're not even aware of watching how you respond to you losing your job. That you'll give that, if you're, you know, if you figure, okay, I'll move forward from here, I'll do the best that I can, and I don't know how, but it'll all work out. Somebody maybe it's your child, is watching how you respond to that. That will impact them hugely. It'll help them to be more positive.
Inspire others, yeah, to live that. And then not only that, but we talked about Think and Grow Rich a little bit and The Secret. And it seems like when you worry about stuff, nothing's going to happen, or bad things will continue because you're bringing more of that
right in.
And when you really have faith and believe that something, I don't care what it is you have faith in, if you have faith in whatever religion, whatever you call a higher being, or even if you don't, if you have just faith in yourself, my experience has been people that have faith in something accomplish things that they want because mm-hmm. they really believe strongly in something. And that to me is what this world is. It's a world of whatever we believe is kind of what we create, and it comes forward, it manifests,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So illness, wealth. Now, you talked about Think and Grow Rich. Well, I don't want to be rich because that's thought of. It's like, you know what? I used to think that a little bit too before I read that book, and I think there's nothing wrong with it.
No, there isn't.
I think it's good. Why not? Don't all of us want to have great abundance? Because we can always help others with
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
And we can make everything better. Shouldn't we be living in abundance? Don't you think whoever put us here said, no, you must struggle, and I hope it's wretched and difficult? And I think the creator is abundance. Wouldn't we, or shouldn't we, have abundance as well?
Yeah.
Not necessarily material things, but enough. More than enough.
I think we're meant to. I think a lot of times we look at the material component, or money maybe in particular, but who's to say there's only a certain amount of money if that's what it is?
Right.
Just because I succeed in something doesn't mean you can't.
Exactly.
It's not, you know, because I have it, you won't be able to have it. It's just,
So let's talk about your event, because I know you got to run pretty soon, and I probably should get back to work here at the radio station, and we're doing this podcast. But your event's coming up June 30th, and it's going to be from 6 till 9. It's at a place called the Terrace Bay Inn, right?
Yes, it's a beautiful facility. I'm very glad we're having it there. We're going to start off with a quick message, about 20 minutes, on just optimism and positivity, how that impacts your life, a lot of what we kind of talked about here. The choices that you can make, and I'll talk a little bit about my experiences and what's drawn me down this path to bring this forward. And then Dr. Melissa Vandermissen is going to talk about nutrition, the way that what you take in impacts your body, and also how to be smart about what you're buying. Then we're going to do a short break, and then Dr. Patrick will be on to talk about hormones, and it's men and women both, not just, you know, just for those ladies. It's for both.
Right.
It's a very humorous take on everything. You learn a lot from it, but he's a great presenter, and he's going to present things that will really help your marriage even. Hmm. Just really good stuff. The last half hour or so of the evening is going to be for questions and answers, so you'll have a chance to talk with the presenters. There will also be some select vendors there that represent some things, that tools that will help you in your journey on wellness, so you can talk with the people.
You sell essential oils too, right?
I do, yes. Yeah.
So people can find out, if somebody wanted to buy some from you or get information, they can go to your Facebook page maybe, or what?
They could go to my Facebook page. They could go to the website as well, livingbetterfeelinggood.com. I'm learning a lot about web design and making my own web page, so bear with me. But yes, you can. It's all membership based. The way I go, I don't like do a stock of inventory to sell to people. I more or less, what I was looking for and what I want other people to have is just a basic toolkit. When something in life presents, like sunburn or whatever, okay, you have some lavender to put on it, or you're feeling a little blue, you know, get some lemon going. Citrus oils are really good for making you feel good and improve your mood and everything like that. So, but yes, I do that with the focus on wellness.
I think it's awesome. I'm glad you're stepping forward. You feel like you're being pushed to do so, don't you?
I do, yes.
Like yeah, there's an invisible force going, Maddie, step forward.
Yes, exactly. And as I shared with you earlier, I started to feel a couple weeks ago like, June 30th is going to come and go, and I'm going to feel disappointed that it's done. So I'm actually starting some lines of thought, reaching out to some people for bigger, better, more sustainable ways of broadcasting the message of wellness, doing my part, because if somebody looked at me and said, I gained a little bit of hope from what you've had to say, that's about the highest compliment that you could give me in my book. Not that I was ever hopeless, but the cup of hope was not all that full. And now, I mean, it is. It's overflowing. I've got, I don't know, there's no stopping me. There's no limit.
And you're not doing it for that reason. You're just doing it because you know this is part of what you must do.
Yeah, yeah.
And helping others feels good just naturally. It's like when you give of yourself unselfishly, you don't really need anything back. It's nice to get that, but...
Right. Because maybe there's other people who would have a hard time stepping up and speaking honestly or being candid about their experiences, and
right.
I'm not.
I think it's good. Every one of us has a story. Every one of us can share it. And you and I were talking before the interview, and I said, I think every one of us has a spiritual path. And it's different for everybody, but it's always calling to us. And if you want to call it spiritual, I mean, whatever you want to call it, but there is a higher purpose, if you want to call it that, even for all of us. And some people maybe in this, again, going to lifetime, but in this lifetime, I'm just going to coast. Well, that's fine. Or maybe they have inspiration and they do one great thing. That's fine. Some people just keep going. Okay, what's next? How can I learn more? How can I learn more? What can I do more? And so it keeps coming at you. And that's when you get on that cycle, I think you're really following the path. But again, as in my eyes, it doesn't really matter if you choose not to. If you choose to only go so far. But once you get that desire, then you want to do more. Just like I like meeting people and feel the need to get their message out. So maybe down the road we can do this again.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on.
You're welcome. And maybe I mentioned to you, hey, you should write a book.
Oh, I know. You planted a seed that wasn't there before.
So, I mean, it's easy to say. I've been writing on mine for how long now? I've got 4 chapters done pretty much. And I've restarted like 6 times. But I feel the need. Like there's this invisible voice going, do it, do it, do it. And it's never pushing too hard. It's just gently nudging you because you can become something greater. We all can. And again, at the end of my life, if I was just a DJ who sat in a chair and flapped his lips, that's not a horrible thing.
No.
But we can all be so much more, I think. That's what's cool. Yes. That's what excites me when I see other people kind of realizing that too.
It's a wonderful world. There's a lot to learn and to do and people to meet.
Yes, and you can make a huge difference. We all can. Your story is very fascinating, Mary. Thank you for sharing it with me.
Thank you. I appreciate being on.